Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, where we inspire to go higher and higher in the spirit. I hope you enjoy our show today. We'll be talking about the power of the tongue and the power of the spoken word and how our words can frame our existence. So I hope that you will enjoy the show today. Kind of the tone and some of the things that we'll be speaking about today is coming from Proverbs 15:40, the tongue can also be a tree of life. So it can be a place where the words that we speak frame our existence, and they have the power of life or death. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue, like I said, has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat by its fruit. And that power of life and death is that we can speak life into our existence, or we can speak death, and not always the physical death that we sometimes think of, but sometimes it's the demise of something, the demise of a relationship, the demise of a marriage, the demise of a career. Demise of, in those things you speak, that demise of are things that happened in your life. I have an exciting guest today, and her name is Chris Brooks, Deacon Chris Brooks of the Church of the Living Water. And she will be with us, and we'll be sharing our thoughts. It'll just be comfortable, relaxing. You know how we do it on this show. It'll just be exchange and a dialogue between me and her. But before we even start, let's take a deep breath. If you've been like me, I have been rushing around today. I've gone to church, I've come back, and it has just been one of those days. So I just want to take a few minutes to relax and take a deep breath. Let's say a small prayer. And just to get our mind and thoughts. So again, we'll take a deep breath. Father God, we thank you that you are God all by yourself. We thank you that you've given us dominion over the earth realm. We thank you that we can come together, exchange our thoughts and our words. We can uplift and encourage each other. That is the dwelling place of the brethren when we are in your presence. Allow your presence to feel our being today. Let the Holy Spirit guide our conversation. As Chris speaks and she shares knowledge and wisdom, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through her and speak through me. Allow us to make an exchange and our spirits connect with your spirit so that what we speak, we encourage and uplift and empower others to live the life that you've created them to live. So we lift you up, Father God. We exalt you. We worship you. These and all things we speak in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say hello to Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I am good. If it sounds like I was trying to play my song and there's something wrong with my playlist, so that is what is going on. But I'm going to go on with the show because that's how we do it. We keep on. Sometimes even when we have some technical challenges. So I'm just glad to introduce you. Chris is the deacon of the Church of the Living Water, and she helps with the administration and the flow of that church. And we even talked about that we would talk about the role of the deacon in your church. So go ahead and explain to us the role of the deacon for your church.
Okay. In our church, the deacons, we do everything except for married people. So we a lot of times do communion. We can be found in the sound system sometimes. And we can deliver the message sometimes too. And that's really exciting for us to be able to do that because we're sharing God's word with others. And of course, that's what we want to do.
Right, so that is so true. That's it in a nutshell, pretty much, huh?
Yes.
Okay. And I know that you're very beneficial. Let's tell us about the Church of the Living Water a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, we are at 731 South Dickerson Pike, and we are non-denominational. We are a big church on the hill. We used to be called the Little Church on the Hill, but we have changed our thinking to the Big Church on the Hill because there is power in the words, and we can't let I had used a phrase a couple of weeks ago because I spoke the first Sunday of the month, and I said something about our stinking thinking. And even the pastor had repeated that today. And if we call ourselves the Little Church on the Hill, then that's what we're going to be. But if we call ourselves the Big Church on the Hill, then we're going to be the Big Church on the Hill. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have hundreds of members. But that just means that we're going to be full of love, and we want you to feel like when you come to our church that you're coming to your mother's house, and we want you to have that good home feeling, and we try to welcome everybody, regardless of who you are or who you're with. You know, it just doesn't matter to us. We welcome everybody. Just the same as, you know, everyone else. So we want everybody to feel welcome at our church.
And I can say for myself, I've visited your church many times. You do. And it is a big church because it's big people there who make you feel welcome and love when you stepped in the door.
Well, that's what we definitely want to accomplish. It's one of our main things is we always want to make sure that everybody's welcome and comfortable, and we all know what to do, and we just do it. And you could find any of us, even the pastor will be behind the serving line sometimes, and people are like, oh, that's odd. But, you know, we are all servants of God and servants of each other, and there's nothing that none of us are willing or not willing to do. That's one of the things that Pastor Tony first taught me, and that was at work long before I ever came to church, is don't ever ask anybody to do anything you're not willing to do yourself. And he taught me that in a very good way. That made me feel very bad because I had told him no about something. And then he said, that's okay, I'll do it. And he just went on, and I never said no to him again.
Well, and Tony is that kind of, Pastor Tony is that kind of a person that will get in there and do all, and I do see that. Well, we're kind of going to go on into the conversation. We're talking about the power of the tongue. And how that the tongue can frame our words, meaning the words that we speak can frame our existence. The Lord framed the world with words that he spoke. He framed the worlds. It's in the Bible. I think it's Hebrews 1:13. God said the worlds were framed by my words. So do you feel there is power in the words you speak? And talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, of course there is, because you know, that's how God made the world. And it also talks about it in Genesis, you know, at the beginning when he said, God said, let there be light, and there is light. And God said, let there be this and that, and it came about. And that's how the world was made. That's we listen to so much in the media and everything. And the media, I don't know if they always realize what they're doing, but when they're covering news stories sometimes they actually go too far in their coverage, I think, because then they sensationalize it, what happened
right
in some people's mind, and then it makes, and it can actually feed into other people's mind, and they can actually find it. You know, if they have problems already, it can feed that, their thoughts, like I said, stinking thinking, you know, it can feed that, and that can, that's why sometimes we have copycat crimes, because people listen to the news so much and the TV so much, and I have tried myself to get away from it somewhat. I like to listen to the weather, but other than the weather, I'm not saying I don't want to know what's going on in the world, but, you know, you always hear so much bad stuff and not good stuff.
Right.
If you listen to the news, it's almost all bad stuff. And there's a lot of power in the words that are spoken. You can say one thing to somebody and you may not realize it, but it can ruin their day or make their day. Either one. It can, you know, be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. So I don't want to be all negative either. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, I feel like if you're speaking positive things to people, then that can work in the same way, because people will start, the more positive reinforcement you get, the better you'll feel, and then the better you feel, the better things that will happen to you in your life.
Right, I so agree, because I do feel like, you know, it's important, along with the words, before you speak the word, thoughts come into our mind. And sometimes, you know, we're all human, sometimes negative, sometimes positive, but I feel like you have to capture, and the Bible speaks of that, those negative thoughts. That don't mean they come in your mind, but you don't have to speak them, because I always say, like, words are like energy, and when you speak them, they're like magnets. They attract that to you. So how do you feel we can capture some of the thoughts before we speak the word, actually?
Well, sometimes that's hard for me, and I'm sure it is for everybody, but
yeah.
The way I feel about it is that we need to just stop and think before we actually speak, and we also need to try to think more positively about things, because, you know, the world in a nutshell, if you go to a restaurant and you have a bad experience, you're going to tell a lot more people than if you go to a restaurant and have a good experience. If you have a good experience, you're probably not going to tell anybody. But if you have a bad experience, you're going to tell everybody. So we have to reverse that in ourselves, and we have to be more positive people and talk about the good things that happen instead of the bad things. And you would be amazed at how well that would make you feel too, just praising God for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or however long that you can. You don't have to time yourself, but praising God can cause you to feel so much better, and
mm-hmm.
that will also put positive thoughts in your mind, so then when you speak, hopefully you will speak positive thing.
And I like how you said that, because sometimes that's a way to capture those negative thoughts, because they're going to come up, things, you know, things that you know you shouldn't speak. And sometimes just to say a prayer, or I know I shouldn't say that, or like you said, to praise God, to even sing a song, even if it's in your mind, if it's not appropriate to really sing that out loud, well, or some things that you can do to kind of like think on something else, capture those thoughts. And how
right.
do you feel having faith works in our lives in regards to the words that we speak, which I feel like it's so important to have that faith and to speak those positive words?
Well, Linda, I have a lot of faith, or I like to think that I do. I always believe that God is there, and I have never doubted that my whole life. I've always known that God is there, and I can't tell you where that came from. I grew up in a Catholic church, which is very strict and very I don't want to say anything negative. It's just very strict. So I was always, but I always had faith. I always had a lot of faith, and I just believe that when you have faith, then you'll be a more positive person. And I'm not saying I'm always a positive person, but I believe that I have become more positive. And I know I've become more outgoing because since going to the Church of the Living Water, I used to be the one that would sit in the back of the church and not say a word. And when Tony, Pastor Tony, had his stroke back several years ago, he was thinking about stepping down as the pastor. And we was like, oh, no, you ain't doing that. So several of us got up and spoke to him and spoke from our hearts and told him how we felt about him and how we did not want him to step down as pastor. And he's like, nope, God ain't done with you yet. Because if he was done with you, he wouldn't have let you live. So anyways, we talked. That was the very first time I spoke at church, and I looked at Pastor and I said, no, I think I always called him Tony back then because we also worked together before I ever walked through the doors of the church. So he had already set such a high, good example of me, not saying he's on a pedestal because he's human. We know that, Linda. We've both worked with him. But he also is a wonderful, loving man. You'll never find anybody that's more loving and more caring than him. And I said, you know it has to be God if I'm up here speaking in front of all these people. And it was at a homecoming service or something, so it was a huge service. It wasn't like it was just 10 people. So, and then not long after that is when, you know, it was a couple of years after that then when I had felt I wanted to go further and become a deacon, and other people said it to me too. So that's how that came about. But anyway, that's off the subject. But
no, but it does help to, you know, the personal stories helps us and encourages other people. You're on this radio program, which says a lot about the power of faith and that what God can do. If you're one of the shy ones that wouldn't speak, for you to be on a radio program talking to however many people that listens, and sometimes it's up to 1,000 or more. So that's a big thing. You know, it shows the power of what God can do in anything that we do in our lives. We got to have a faith that, you know, especially if it's righteous and good, that will come to pass. God only wants good things for us and to give good things to us. So those righteous and good things that we desire, we have to know that he's going to make that happen. We're his children. We're his sons and his daughters. So he wants us to have the good things. And he places the desires of our righteous desires in our hearts. So he wants those to happen.
Right. He doesn't want, if it's a bad thing, then he doesn't want it. It's not from him. It's from the devil. So, you know, God has totally changed my life since. You know, I always grew up in churches and stuff, but it wasn't until I walked into, you know, because everybody has a home.
Right.
And no two churches are alike. That's why there's a church on every corner in Tennessee. So if one church isn't right for you, you have to find the church that's right for you. And it took me 35 years, I think, 37 years to go to the Church of the Living Water. And I went for a baptism. It was my best friend at the time. And I saw the sign language. And it was beautiful. And it drew me back along with the preaching and everything else. And now I'm even in the sign choir. And that's all God, because when I first walked into church, I would sit in the back, and I sit in the front, you know. So God faith, through faith in God, and he's really changed my life.
And that's a good thing, and that's a really, really good thing. And he can change the lives of our listeners. And what we're trying to say here is that the words that you speak frame what you say, and that in order to have that good life that God has promised all of us, there's a matter of faith. And I think it says in the scripture, he gives us all a measure of faith. And it doesn't matter if it's like the faith of a mustard seed. It can accomplish what it will.
Is very, very little.
Very, very small. I finally saw one not too long ago.
I've never seen one, but I've heard it's very, very tiny. And that comes from Matthew 17:20-21. I wrote that one down. It says, he replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And God gives us all the same measure of faith. He tells us in the Bible.
He does, and he gives us that measure of faith to frame our existence. Like, we're co-creators with God. So when we speak the words, they frame our world. You know, if you say, I'm never going to be anything, I can't do this and I can't do that, you're speaking that prophecy into your life. And that's why, you know, I on this program, I've had sort of a program similar to this, but I wanted to start at the new year saying that again so that we're all cognizant. It's something I'm really watching, the words that I speak, and since I'm being real cognizant of it, or the Bible says be diligent of the words that come out of your mouth, it amazes me how often I do say things that it's like I have to catch those words, like, oh, I can't do that, or no, that ain't going to happen, or I speak some negative things when I am not aware of it and try to capture that thought before it comes out of my mouth. And I'm sure we all do that. I'm sure you do that too, Chris.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. And I don't realize a lot of times the tone I'm using too. And the tone can be the same thing. You can say the same exact thing, and it's all in the tone and how you say it as to how it's taken.
Wow, that is good, because that shows maybe where your heart is, you know.
Right.
Where your heart is, out of the measure of your heart you produce. So, yeah, sometimes your tone, like you might say, yeah, okay, I'll do that when somebody asks you to do something, but your heart is not really in it. And so,
right, and if you say,
you know,
yeah, sure, I'll do that, then it lets you know that your heart is in it. And it says in the Bible, too, that you shouldn't do things just to do them. You should do them because you want to please God.
Right. Yes. 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 And that was good. That was so good. How do you feel like faith works in our lives in regards to, I think we said in regards to the words we speak, but how does coming into agreement with others and what others speak have an effect on our lives? And what I'm meaning there is, like, you know, like, you can be at work and everybody has something now. Oh, I hate this job, or now they're doing this, and da-da-da-da. And you come in agreement with all that negativity. Sometimes I think that can bring and multiply that negativity, whereas sometimes as Christians we can change the whole tone of that by speaking a word. So you talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, we definitely can. I mean, and I wasn't thinking of it in the same way that you asked it. I was thinking of more of in where it talks about in Acts 2 when they were all in one accord and in agreement when the Holy Spirit came and thousands received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But like at work, if we're having a meeting or something and everybody's negative and then you were to speak a positive word, then it would make others stop and think, now wait a minute, she's crazy. But then they might think, keep thinking about it and say, now wait a minute, maybe she's not so crazy. And, you know, it may not be an immediate effect, and we may not even see the effect of it, but eventually we will see the effect of it at work. There are times that we don't see the effects of our works, and we're not supposed to. But at work, it's really important. I know that in the field that I work in, it's so important that we all stay positive and on a positive note and everything, because it affects. Because one, you know, it's the domino effect when mm-hmm. it's negative and when it's positive. And it, like, if an activity comes up, it's all in the approach of the person that is going to put on the activity on how everyone else is going to feel about it.
Right.
And if the activity is spoken of negatively, then the activity is not going to go over well. But if it's talked about in a positive way, then everybody's going to be excited about it, and it's the same exact activity. So it's all in how you say it and how you talk about it. Our boss actually was talking about that just the other day, about how the supervisors can, you know, word things in such a way to where it can have such, you know, it can excite others.
Mm-hmm.
into wanting mm-hmm. to do it instead of, oh, well, we got to do this today, you know. Nobody wants to do that then. But, hey, we got something fun to do today. Let's do this. And it can be all
right.
It's the same thing. It's just all in how we speak about it.
And that's so true. I even like what you said about acts, is that if we come in one accord, in the sense of when you come into one accord in prayer or in a congregational or the body of Christ comes together with all the incidents that have happened, you know, with the children, you know, all of that. When the body of Christ comes together in one accord, we can also change things. So how do you feel about that? Talk a little bit about the scripture you read about in Acts, about when we come in one accord, there's power in what we speak as a corporate body, as a church, and I'm not just saying our local church, but as a church of Christ, you know, worldwide, when we come together
right,
corporately.
Right. It's amazing what can happen. You know, all these people in Acts 2, and if there's any listeners out there that haven't read it, I encourage you to get out your Bible. It's one of my favorites when it talks about the day of Pentecost, and everybody was in one accord in one place, and then suddenly a sound come from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to be divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now everybody believes in speaking in tongues, but it is in the Bible, and it's nothing to be afraid of. It's an awesome, awesome experience if you've never had it. And you know, all these people were all in one room. I think it was like 3,000 or so, and some mm-hmm. people thought that they were drunk, but they weren't. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, because they were all there for one purpose, and that's what one accord means. It's all for one purpose and in one place, and they were waiting on the Holy Spirit as Jesus promised us. And it was an amazing thing. And then there's been other times in history, too. In the early 1900s, on Azusa Street, or I believe
right.
it's Azusa Street, that there was a movement of the Holy Spirit, and it was a small church from what I remember, because we
was.
Watched a video on it. Was it?
It was a small church. I have never watched a video. It was a very small church. I
right.
can't remember that, but I've read about it.
People were outside, and it went on for a long time. Was it days, months, years?
I kind of got the impression it was years, and really changed the movement because it kind of was like the start mostly of the Pentecostal movement, if I'm correct in saying that. But that was people coming to one accord, kind of seeking God and allowing Him to use the Holy Spirit through them. So
right, and you just said something very important: is we all have the same gifts. We just have to allow God to work through us. And if we don't allow God to work through us, then we're going to be pew warmers. Where, you know, nothing's going to happen. We have to let God work through us in order for Him to be able to, because God does not force us to do anything. God gives us free will.
And that was something I learned today in a group that I study with. We talked about God, He gives us free will. So He won't come against His will. Like, even you're accepting Him as God and acknowledging who He is in your life, you know, a lot of times our life isn't changed because we don't acknowledge who God is in our life and how He placed Christ in our life and in us. So when you do that, you come into agreement with God, and then He's allowed
right.
to move and work in your life. But if you're
right.
if you don't acknowledge that God exists, then your life is stagnant, and really you have no place else to go, because, you know, we all have problems. We do sometimes fall on our face or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you have a relationship with God, it's like you can take your problems or whatever it is. You have this next step that you can go, which is also the most powerful step you can go, is you can give that to God. And sometimes I think that's what happens in the earth realm with people when they become violent and do, you know, terrible things, is because they don't have that step to go to when they are overwhelmed. So they
right.
project it and take it out on other people. When you know the Lord, you have that powerful step to say, you know, Lord, I can't do anything else with this, so I give it to You.
Right, right.
So that's true, huh?
That's very true, yes.
What scriptural references, and you kind of listed some, and I'm glad you had, that you say correspond with kind of what we're talking about? You already listed a couple, and I've listed a couple. Do you have any others?
I do have a couple others. One is just a little bit further in Mark. Maybe it's I wrote Mark 24. So I didn't write down the chapter, I'm sorry. But it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You can replace, and my two thoughts on that is that you can replace the word believe with having faith, which is what we think and speak. And if we have faith, then God will give us whatever we ask for in prayer. And it's not necessarily that He'll answer our prayer exactly. He might answer our prayer in a different way. Like, I had been praying and praying and praying for something, and we were at a church service in Illinois to hear Pastor Chuck Breckenridge with Diversity Fellowship in Tulsa, and we surprised him, and he was doing an altar call, which means that he was, you know, up front, and people were welcome to come up front and receive prayer. He says he won't call anybody up front. He doesn't believe in that. But if anybody wanted prayer, he would be, the altar was open. The front of the church was open. Then all of a sudden he says, Chris Brooks. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's me. So I go up without hesitation. Because, you know, I had been back there, and I had been praying to God, and I said, God, I know You can do it right here where I stand. I don't have to go up front. And I also said, God, I don't want what I want. I want what You want me to have.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Chuck called me up front and he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Raise your hands." And I raised my hands. And the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. But during that time that I was on the floor, it was just me and God. And some people also don't believe in that. But because there are false prophets out there that on TV and everything that you see that it happens, but it's not for real. But this was for real. And when it was just me and God, and God, I kept calling after I got up and back to myself. I kept praising God and calling him Abba Father. And then the next morning at breakfast, I asked Pastor if that had a special meaning. And he said, yes. Well, he let Pastor Ronnie explain it to me that was a more intimate name for God. And it just brought such a smile and a warmth across me. And God also says in the scripture, because I became an orphan at 2 and a half, and it says in the scripture that he will never leave you and that he will adopt you as his own. And since I found that scripture, I no longer feel like an orphan, because I know that I have my Father, Heavenly Father, that's with me all the time. And that was just such an awesome experience. And the other scripture that I had was Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Because we want, you know, that's what God wants us to do, is to be his mouth.
Mm-hmm. And to, like we said, frame the word or the world by lifting people up and encouraging people. And, you know, today people have enough of somebody speaking negative over them or gossiping about them. So as encouragers, as we're to be that light and salt in the world. So to lift people up, to when you see a friend that's discouraged, to say a kind word, that is also a word framing not only your existence but the existence of another person, to show them the way, that there is another way, that God is. He's able, honey. I'm here to tell you. He is, all-knowing,
yes,
and all-sufficient. Even when you don't know, he's your Jehovah Jireh. When you don't have enough, mm-hmm, and you don't know where your next is coming from, he's Jehovah Jireh. So
right,
that is who we are, those who speak those powerful words to others, to ourselves, and to a lift. So, yeah, that was really good about how, because, you know, I know that it's all people of all faiths that listen to the program, and I have other people from other religious denominations on the program. I don't look for the differences, but I look for the commonalities, because I know who I,
mm-hmm,
am in Christ, and
right,
I can lift him up, and I am so secure in who I am in Christ that I can hear what you have to say, even if you don't agree with anything that I'm saying. I can learn from you, and you can learn from me. We don't have
That's
to agree,
right.
You know
That's
what
right.
I'm saying? But I have to stand up for who I am in Christ and be the best that I can be to represent, to be an advocate for God in the world. So, you know, I think that is another thing about us having faith. Sometimes we are a walking testimony of God. We may not even ever speak a word in a pulpit or whatever, but you don't know how many times that the way you live your life in front of others speaks words and volumes to them.
That's right. And we should also remember that no matter what, we may think that we can hide things, but we can't hide things because God is always watching us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to live. I feel we don't need to be one way at home, another way out in public. I feel like we need to be ourselves at all times, because I feel like we should want to edify God at all times. and he's always watching. So even if no one else knows what we've done, and we all fall short and make mistakes each and every day. I'm not trying to say that we don't, but it's so important that we remember that even if it's behind closed doors, that God still sees it. And God
and he does. But the powerful thing about that is, you know, I think sometimes we get locked up in the guilt of what we've done or whatever, but that he is the other part of being who he is and the world that he claims is he's a forgiving God.
He is a forgiving God. He forgives us.
He sees us.
For
he knows
everything.
What we've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And trust me, I have done all of that, the good,
right.
bad,
and
the ugly.
And
I'm still here to talk about him because of his grace and forgiveness. And
right.
Those are words he's spoken to the world, that he is a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. Yes,
he
sees us at our worst. But thank God, he also sees us complete and whole and good.
And
that's
he will
almost
also
like
forgive
an oxymoron, but it's the truth, huh?
He will also forgive us, you know, when others won't. So there's nothing.
Speak that.
There's nothing that God won't forgive us unless we grieve the Holy Spirit. So don't ever think that your hope. Anybody's hopeless because you can always receive forgiveness no matter what. I mean, you know.
And that's true because he sees us from the end. God sees us from the beginning to the end. So he sees the end. He sees the whole picture. He sees you perfect and complete even when you're not. A lot of times we're the person by the words we speak. I'm not good enough. Even if you don't speak it, you think it, and you kind of act that way. I did this in my past. Nobody can. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Everybody thinks I'm, like, if you're the black sheep of the family or whatever. I know a lot of times in my life I've been the liberal, what do they call it, the person in my family who kind of goes for it, sort of a free thinker, free speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that doesn't always come out really good, but I am so glad that God uses me. He knows how I am. He knows that I've always been sort of a free spirit kind of person. He does not hold that against me, and he allows me to be the best I can be in him, even being that.
That's so, right.
He's awesome. So we're talking about the power of the tongue and how powerful it is. I don't think we always understand the power of the tongue. So talk to us a little bit about the power of the tongue.
No, you see that? No, we don't always understand that. You see, what comes to mind to me when I think about that is the celebrities and stuff and the things that they do and the actions that they, you see, because of course you hear mostly the bad stuff. And, you know, and I'm not going to name any names or anything because it's not up for us to judge. But,
right.
You know, the famous people, when they do things wrong, they have all these other people that are watching them and that see it. And then, again, there's also famous people that do things good, that do good things for other people. And you don't always, you don't hear about that either, but... or you don't hear about that, maybe, but, you know, that sometimes the celebrities might, I think there's some celebrities that take kids shopping at Christmas time that are in need or something. And, you know, so celebrities are really watched. And it's not only the power of their tongue and the words that they say, but the actions that they perform, like we had talked about before. But speaking, you know, they need, we all need to be careful about the things that we speak, because, you know, we don't understand, we don't always know where someone else is at. And if someone else, we could say the same things two different people, and one person could be in a good place and take it fine, and another person could be in a bad place and not take it so fine.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. It's the same thing as parents. When we, as parents, you can lift your children up and, you know, tell them things like, you can do anything. You can be president of the United States. I was we were talking about Barack Obama today, and that what must his mother have said to him by the words that she spoke to him, how she encouraged him, and probably she encouraged him to think that she wasn't a woman of great means, and doesn't sound like his father was a man of great means. But the words that he spoke to himself, and probably other people spoke over him, were so positive that he probably had to believe that he could accomplish anything. So even as parents, the words we speak over your children, you know, and if it's anybody out there, please don't speak things like, oh, you ain't no good. You know what I'm saying? Your daddy ain't no good. Don't speak those
That's
words
right.
over your children. Speak life over your children. You can do anything that you put your mind to, you know.
Right.
Greater, you are. You have the God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those kind of words. So that, yeah. So what do you, you have anything else on that?
Yeah, it's so hard as parents to do that too sometimes.
It is.
But you know, the better that we are at it, the better that they will be, and the easier job we'll have as being parents. And in speaking of divorces too, you know, if you speak bad about your spouse or ex-spouse, that's going to end up biting. That's going to end up getting you in trouble, not them.
Right.
So we need to, as parents, work. You know, even if we're divorced, we need to work together to raise the children.
I think that's so true. And I had a pastor, she would say to us, and I thought it was an excellent thing, and I used to do it, like when you speak negativity over somebody, you're spreading gossip. I'm just using it, you know, so-and-so, oh, girl, she ain't no good. She go with so-and-so, and she done went with this man. And you just speaking all this negativity over this person. Or you speak negativity over yourself. I can't do this, da-da-da. That word has already come out. And like I said, words are entities or energy. She used to say, I cancel that, or, you know, I delete that. Just something to capture that word and throw it back, like you're throwing away. You know, capture that. I cut that off. I won't allow that to manifest in the earth realm. So sometimes you have the power to even do that. You know, sometimes we don't think we do, but God has given us the power with our tongue, the power to capture the words that we speak that maybe even we should not have spoke. You know, I cancel that. I cancel what I said over somebody's life that may have, and we don't think how words can cause detriment over somebody's life. You know, she's no good. She gonna never be no good. Capture some of those words that you spoke over somebody else's life so that those words don't manifest in their lives.
Right, because God can change anybody.
He really can. He really can. And to have a positive preference that, you know, maybe that person did do something to you or to someone that you love dearly, but speak life over them that, you know, God is, you know, God is able, he can change her heart too, you know, and pray
right.
for that person. And sometimes that is so hard to do, but we're works in progress. So that's kind
that's
of where
right.
it leads us to the mm-hmm. next question about, you know, sometimes we can speak positively, and I know we're talking about speaking positive and framing your word, but sometimes the things are not manifesting in your life. And, you know, I've had those periods in my life where I've been speaking positive, but I just don't see it. How do you feel we can overcome those adverse when you're in that, you know, like I call it, just you just kind of stuck in a rut right there? How do you feel like we can change or overcome that?
Yes, we're stuck in a valley is
mm-hmm.
what just
mm-hmm.
came to my mind. And, I mean, that just came to my mind right now. Because when we get through the valley, there's a mountaintop. And bad things are going to happen to us. Well, we may not get exactly what we want or what we've asked for, But we have to keep believing in God and having faith and trust in Him and keep the positive vibes and positive thoughts and the positive words flowing, because sometimes He has something better in store for us. That's why what we've asked for, what we want, has not manifested, because He actually has something better for us. We just have to be patient. And that's hard for...
It is. And sometimes I have learned that things have not always come for me at a certain time when I, later in my life, when I look back over, those things didn't come exactly when I wanted. When I actually look at it, I really wasn't ready for them. And what He was doing was brewing me, as I say. He was maturing me in a place that I was desiring something, but I wasn't quite ready for it, because He was putting me, quieting me, settling in a place and maturing me, you know, molding me, making it. So sometimes it's not no, it's wait when, you know, like you said, Abba, when you had that relationship when you were down, what He did was really prove His relationship, and how you have a relationship with Him became Abba. Well, sometimes Abba will say to you, baby, it's not no, it's wait a minute. I got some things for you to do
right
in this
now.
Spot.
It could be that it involves someone else who's not ready either. It may be that you're ready, but someone else that it affects or involves is not ready.
Mm-hmm. That is true, too, because sometimes we're so interconnected with each other. If there's a joint something that you were doing, maybe even in a family, maybe you were ready to go at a certain place, but your spouse is just not there yet. And you may have to kind of, you know, wait till God brings them to that place where together corporately as a family, then you guys can move in the same direction. So that's good, Chris. Yeah.
And even meeting our spouse. I mean, you know, I met my soulmate when I was 40, almost 43, and I always wondered, well, am I ever going to meet my soulmate? But I wasn't ready, and neither were they. And had we met earlier, it wouldn't have turned out the same. We, you know, God had to get us both ready for each other.
That's good. I think, you know, being a single woman, that is good. I think for a lot of singles out there, man, woman, whatever, is that sometimes you wait, well, am I ever going to find that person? Is that ever your soulmate? Is that ever going to happen for me? And really what this is a time where God is preparing you, because when you really look at it, it's some issues in you, and or it's some things that you need to come to make a better union between you and that person that God has for you.
That's right.
So sometimes waiting is not denial. It's just be patient here.
Yes,
and just
and
hold
we
on.
All have problems with patience. And don't pray for patience, because they'll be tested.
Woo!
And you don't want to be tested on patience.
Patience will come. You don't have to pray for it, honey. When you know, sometimes you got to wait. That's when the patience is developed. I'm going to tell you that right
now.
That's
right.
Will
but
come.
Don't pray for patience, because believe me, you're going to be tested.
You're going to get the test right there about it, huh?
That's right. And you're not going to like that test.
No, some of the tests, I call them initiation, test of initiation. Until you get the lesson, they keep coming, popping up. You know what I'm saying? Until you get that lesson, till you get that place where you don't do that the same way anymore, those tests just keep on popping up.
Right, and you can't have a testimony without a test.
There you go. There will be some tests and trials, and, you know, we can say all the positive. And positive things do frame our world, and it is, but, you know, that we live in this human part that things do happen, and we do have to go over trials and things to get to the next level of being, or the next level, you know, that says from glory to glory, which I says is from a higher consciousness to a higher consciousness. So you're going to have that testimony. You will definitely have some tests.
All right.
We've talked about it. I know you do, but do you believe our words can create the life we live now? Be that good, bad, or ugly?
I'm sorry?
Oh, go ahead. That's it. Go ahead.
Yes, yes, I do. I try to. But none of us are perfect. Like you said, we're all works in progress and we all fall short. But we have to believe. And even when it seems impossible with man, nothing is impossible with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can create the life we want now. I have read, I've read a lot of books, and I have read a lot of examples and seen a lot of examples of people believe, speaking words, and then they come to life and come true. And, you know, I've seen it happen. So I definitely believe in the power, you know, in being able to speak to create the life that you want to have. You know, we as works in progress, have those doubts, and that's when we get into trouble.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We can't doubt God, because God can do anything but fail.
He can, and sometimes you just have to go know that all is well. Sometimes when whatever it looks like, I always say, when even when I'm in those valley experiences, as you said, that all is well, and His will be done. His will
That's
will
right.
ultimately be done for His children. You know, somehow
right.
or another, when you are God's, He takes care of His own, and you will land on your feet. You know, I may go
That's
through
right.
some things, but one thing I know for sure, I'm going to land on my feet.
That's
you know,
right.
and sometimes
That's
you
right.
have to, I guess it's a song that you have to encourage yourself, because sometimes it's no one else you can go to. The Holy Spirit gives you encouragement, but sometimes you have to speak those encouraging words over yourself.
Well, we need to speak blessings over ourselves, and we should start with ourselves and speak those same blessings over those in our home. If we can't pray for each other in our homes, then what gives us the right to pray over people at church?
That's powerful.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, we should speak healing into each other's bodies as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we should do, you know, and I heard that being spoken just recently, and it just really hit home for me. Oh, wow. That's so powerful, because, you know, we should start at home. You know, we should encourage each other at home. We should pray for each other at home. We should, you know, because we all have the power to heal. No,
we do.
We don't have the power to heal.
But God has the power in us.
I'm sorry?
Yes. I said, but God has the power through us, in us. Yes.
Right. That's what I meant. You knew what I meant.
Yeah,
Sometimes I do feel like that.
But I know I feel like it is. We do have that power because He's in us. And when we
That's
know
right.
and we can tap into the power in us, it's not us, it's Him through us that we can
right.
heal. And even with sickness and disease, talking about coming into agreement, you know, come into agreement that people are going to be healed when you
right.
pray about it. Speak those positive words. Speak words from the Bible about their healing. When you're praying for those, speak those affirming words to bring that
yes.
to existence. And I like what
yes.
you said about we can speak those things over our family first, because we should. And that really rung true to me. I hadn't really, you know, sometimes when you're in a dialogue with somebody else, it'll ring true for you when somebody says, so that really rung. So do you have any final thoughts? We're getting coming to the end. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I do have a couple that, you know, I want everyone to know that we do need to have a prayer life, because, you know, God wants to be in an intimate relationship with all of us. He doesn't leave anybody out. But to have that intimate relationship, we have to be able to talk to Him just like we talk to anyone else.
And that's how
easy it is to pray. If you say you don't know how to pray, yes, you do, because it's just like talking. You know, it's just like we're talking now. Mm-hmm. You know, you just pray to God and you tell him your problems, but don't forget to praise him too. And in order to be a child of God, it's just so simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart that he died for your sins, and confess with your mouth that he's Jesus, and you will be saved. And get in a Bible-believing church. It doesn't matter what name is on the church. It's the church. Like I said, I've been in many different churches in my life, and it took coming to the Church of the Living Water in Goodlettsville before I ever felt like I was really in church. So, you know,
Hi.
You have to find the church that you are comfortable in.
That's true. That's true. Well, Chris, thank you. I enjoyed the conversation. I felt like we were two believers talking at the table, discussing, and that's kind of how I like to do the show. Thank you so much. You were so comfortable, and you brought some great insight. Some things I even have to think about as you were speaking, some things that really brought some things home. So thank you so much for being on the program. And once again, you're always invited. If you have something you want to speak about, you're invited to come again.
Well, thank you for having
everybody,
me.
Yeah, at the Church of Living Water, no problem.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful. It's a wonderful experience, and I'm just you're always such a pleasure to have at church, and just you're welcome anytime, and so is our listeners. And if anybody wants more information, find us on Facebook. CLW Nashville,
good.
I believe.
Yeah, and it's an awesome church, and I will come and see you guys sometime. I always feel welcome whenever I come. So, well, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, where we inspire to go higher and higher in spirit. You have a very blessed week. Be powerful because the God in you is powerful. Be blessed because God has blessed you. Speak words of life into your own life and to those you love. This is Linda. This is Soul in the City. Be blessed. Goodbye.